Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We turn now to Ukraine, where at midnight on Sunday, a ceasefire between Russian-backed separatists and the Ukrainian army took effect. Already, that very fragile deal has been broken. According to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, more than 100 cases of artillery fire between the two sides have been reported since early Sunday in the contested area of Debaltseve. Andrew Kramer, reporter for our partner, The New York Times, joins me now from the supply route on the road to Debaltseve. Welcome, Andrew.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Andrew, you are outside on a road that is disputed and that the Ukrainian army is trying to use as a supply route.
That's right. The Ukrainian military claims that this road is open, but in fact, it is mostly closed, and nobody has made it out since Thursday, with the exception of a few stragglers and soldiers who are seeking medical care and have managed to either walk across the fields or dash out in a dangerous attempt to escape. About 8,000 soldiers are said to be trapped inside. Now, just today, Life News, a news agency with close connections to the Russian security services, released a video showing their reporter on this road walking amid destroyed tanks and dead Ukrainian soldiers, seeming to provide proof that the separatists do, in fact, control a portion of this road. This would be a military defeat and a major setback for Ukraine if it is left in this situation. It's not contested, or they're not able to walk this back through negotiations.
Andrew Kramer, what is the state of the ceasefire at this very moment? We understand some shells continued flying right after midnight and the agreement, but that they were isolated. What's the state of the ceasefire now?
The ceasefire is being violated on multiple occasions on this small part of the front. Out here on this road, it's a snowy day. It's very hard to see farther than a few hundred meters, but we can hear from time to time the hollow booms of artillery. Elsewhere in Ukraine, there have been few reported violations. Just today, there was a report of 5 Ukrainian soldiers killed outside of the city of Mariupol and a hospital damaged in the town of Shastya to the east of where I am. Overall, the violence has diminished considerably since Saturday when the ceasefire took effect.
And before we let you go, Andrew Kramer, how desperate are Ukrainian soldiers or Ukrainian people for American weapons? To hear it on our side in Washington, they're absolutely desperate for U.S. anti-tank artillery that they can use in the fight. Is that the case there?
Well, Ukrainian soldiers are certainly desperate to have better weaponry. Ukraine is losing this war. The most that can be said at this point is they're not giving up without a fight. That said, I would not say unequivocally the Ukrainian people are asking for American weapons. This would inevitably lead to an escalation, perhaps a wider war, and opinions would be divided on that.
Andrew Kramer from our partner, The New York Times, on the road to Debaltseve. Andrew, thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
It's been a busy few days for German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Negotiations for the now broken ceasefire in Ukraine late last week took her to Minsk and London and Washington and a handful of other stops. And today, she continues deliberations over the Greek bailout at the European Council summit in Brussels. Jan van Aken is a member of the German parliament and of Germany's left-wing party, and he says even momentary peace in Ukraine is something to celebrate.
Actually, nobody expected it to hold even for a minute. So it was a very positive surprise over the weekend that at least something happened there for a while. So that gives us some hope. So and you really have to say this is to some extent really the success of Angela Merkel. Without her, I'm sure there wouldn't have been any kind of ceasefire and no hope at all right now.
It seems, taking a step back, that Angela Merkel's vision for a united Europe is really what's at stake here.
Yeah, and I'm not sure whether this is her vision. I think if we look at the Greek question and what happened in the last 3 years with the European and Euro crisis, I think Angela Merkel was more of a problem than of a solution. And when you now listen to Southern Europeans, be it in Greece, be it in Spain, be it in Italy, there's such an anger and sometimes even such a hatred towards Germany that it's really I think from my point of view, that's really endangering the basic idea of the European Union, that the people of Europe grow together. Right now, it's more divided than ever.
Now, what's at stake when it comes to Greece, essentially, is whether or not Greece is going to stick to tough austerity measures that were negotiated in the last bailout. Chancellor Merkel says they have to stick to it. That has led to a lot of the repercussions that you're talking about. Isn't she just reflecting what the polls in Germany, what most Germans, her constituents, say they want, which is for Greece to stick to austerity?
Exactly. I mean, she's very populistic in this way. She's just trying to impose the harsh German reforms we had here in the past 10 years to impose it on all of Europe. And she's saying not a single dime for any Southern European country if they are not cutting on wages, if they are not, you know, laying off public employees and so on and so forth. We see now, 3 years later, that it really is a big problem in these countries. The economy is getting worse and worse and not better. I mean, this is what every economist can tell you. So there's a big debate. And I think even in France and the French government, they are looking to lift some of these very harsh austerity measures. And Angela Merkel and the conservative government here in Germany is pretty much alone in Europe, but they have the economic power. And I'm afraid they were really trying to continue with this wrong policy.
We're going to be talking a little bit later in the show about the concept of appeasement and accusations of appeasement in Europe and sort of what they mean culturally and politically when they're thrown. And Jan van Aken, you know, a lot of American observers are accusing Angela Merkel of just that when it comes to Vladimir Putin. She's not getting tough. She's appeasing Vladimir Putin. Give us the German perspective, not only on what she's doing in negotiating with Putin in eastern Ukraine, but also that term, what it means to Germans versus what it means to the rest of the world.
It's interesting. I think there's really two very different German views on it. And even within Angela Merkel's party, I think there's one half of her party and of her government who really wants to take a much harsher stand against Vladimir Putin, very much on the U.S. line. And the other half says, we will never, ever have peace in Europe against Russia. There will only be peace in Europe with Russia. So we really have to readjust our Russian policy that really went totally wrong over the past 25 years. So there is a lot of talk, even in conservative areas, that we really have to shift our policy. And it's not even appeasement. It's really getting to a cooperative agreement with Putin in the long term.
Jan van Aken, member of the German Parliament and Germany's left-wing party, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported by Lumosity.com, brain training designed by neuroscientists that has been used by 60 million people worldwide, with personalized training programs to challenge memory, attention, and problem solving. Learn more at Lumosity.com.